Bears Beyond the Gate, a Bristol Bears podcast made by fans for fans. We're four season card holders at Ashton Gate who love the club, the game and all things Bears. Well, Brexit came to Ashton Gate on Friday as Bristol's campaign in Europe came to an end at the hands of Claremont. Or perhaps the fingerprints of this defeat were from the home team. Here are our thoughts on the game and the player performances. Also, we want to talk about Thursday, with nine re-signings and two new arrivals announced over the course of that evening. Plus, our views on next year's season ticket prices and if it still offers value for money. All this and more on this week's show. I'm Tony, and this week I'm joined by Lee and Pete for a cheeky beer and some rugby banter. Well, Lee, back at your place. The unusual time of the week. It's a Tuesday. And for various reasons, we've had to put the pod back 48 hours, and it's light out as well. It all seems a bit strange.
Yeah, it has been a bit weird putting it back at, you know, by that amount of time, hasn't it? But it does feel odd because it's a school night. But what a day we've chosen, you know, for the pod. I know we're indoors, you know, but it has been a fantastic day in Bristol. We've had 2 days of sunshine on the trot, which obviously. It's been a bit different from where you've been, Pete, hasn't it?
Why 2 days of sunshine last week?
You were on the piste.
I was at about 2,500 metres and carving on fresh snow. Yeah, I had a good time, boys. I did actually listen to last week's pod, and I'm fully aware of you slagging me and Miles off and taking the mickey out of us.
No. Wait a second. Our opinions were just honest, and the viewers have already had their say. The listeners. Yeah. I think we're on TalkSport. The listeners have had their say, and they could actually tell that those peanut that munching motion was from your and Miles's mouth.
And did they hear any of that last week? No, they
none at all.
I admit. Because you did obviously blame us, me and Miles, last week. And actually, on reflection, I did think it probably was our fault. I think I did reply to one of your tweets from Italy, apologising and taking full responsibility, as you do, like a good politician. I took full responsibility. And also, I did get a personal message from a very loyal listener who also made that point and said that he'd listened to every episode and he will continue to listen to every episode. He was that loyal, but that particular one, he had to switch off. So I apologise profusely. I know you should never say sorry, but actually, I think it was a disgrace. It was a combination of many factors. It was the excitement of beating Quinns. It was having a couple of pints. It was doing it straight away, and it was peanuts all together. It was like a nightmare.
It was us being us, wasn't it? But on that subject, where is the other peanut muncher tonight?
Well, there we are.
Sacked. I mean,
we got a message to say that he was detained in work. But you know, knowing Miles,
detained by you, the police.
Well. The thing is, it's the end of the tax year tomorrow, isn't it? And I bet he's moving his millions around just to make sure that Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs don't catch up with him. So I think it's really suspicious. He's working late, right at the end of the tax deadline.
Yeah, on the offshore brigade.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right, well, let's talk about that game then. Last Friday, Bristol versus Claremont in the round of 16. And I'll start with you, Lee. I mean, it's a bit of a cagey start, wasn't it? There were a few penalties exchanged. I think AJ, first penalty to us, on about 10 minutes. But before that, we saw a bit of Genge in action. The skull cap ripping Genge, and then after that, I think he got upended, didn't he? And the referee didn't seem interested.
Yeah, it's funny because I thought you were going to ask me how confident I felt before the start of the game, saying, "Would you normally do?"
But you know what? We've got so much to talk about tonight.
You've skipped it.
I've skipped it. Yeah. I'm going
no foreplay tonight, Lee.
Yeah.
Straight in.
Yeah.
Well, it was. And just quickly, I'll just go diving quickly with the foreplay. But I was confident.
You're going to dive in quickly with the foreplay.
As I usually do. But I did feel it was a rainy night in Bristol and it was a crappy all day. I thought Claremont, haven't won away from home in God knows how long. October, was it last year?
October, 8 games.
Yeah. And the team we picked, I thought, Claremont are a good side, but this is, you know, this is, they're coming to BS Free. We're going to smash them. It was a subdued opening, wasn't it? I mean, the first 15 minutes was very cagey. It was almost like a boxing match, you know, where the two competitors are kind of, you know, feeling each other out and just, you know, lifting out the jab a little bit. And then, yeah, I mean, it was, what was it, still 3-3 after 13, 14 minutes?
Yeah. Play? And then I think we got another penalty on about 17 minutes, made it 6-3. So, and then, of course, Sam Jeffries went off, which was disappointing to see him go so early, and just makes you wonder, you know, was he fully fit? Was he right?
Yeah, and I think, again, it's one of those things where you know, you can train as much as you like, but actually, you know, the game kind of, the game fitness is completely different to training, isn't it? Because, you know, deep down, you know full well, in training, they do go hammer and tongs, but it won't be quite 100%. And such a shame, really, because if, you know, that sets Jeffries back maybe another week or two, we don't know again now, and injuries again are so... And I didn't feel we needed to rush him back. That was the thing.
No, it's, I agree, yeah.
I kind of felt like, you know, he was one of, you know, with his injury kind of record in the last couple of years, I think he was someone that we could have just kept back again and just let him, you know, get up to full speed. But yeah, it was, I can't remember where we are in the match now.
Well, first 20 minutes have come and gone. And then Pete, they go and score the first try of the game. Do you know what? Friday night, I couldn't remember much about that particular try.
It was Lavanini, wasn't it? It was a bit of forward grunt, pick and go. I mean, he's a bit of a pantomime villain, Lavanini, although he's a unit, because he was at Leicester, wasn't he, a few times, and he likes a yellow, the odd red. So it was a bit annoying that he scored. But yeah, I mean, that was a kind of slightly worried me when that happened, because that was the concern, that a big French pack.
Yeah, and they were big.
And, you know, that wasn't anything we should necessarily have been scared of, because we have fronted up well and our defence has been very good this second half of the season. But it did worry me a little bit that we might kind of capitulate a little bit. So it was a slight worry, and it was a bit annoying that it was Lavanini that scored. But, you know, he's a solid unit, so fair play to him.
Yeah, and then Lee, 4 minutes later, I mean, the Penno first try, was it down to brilliance by him, or a bit of soft defence on our part?
Well, I think it was a little bit of both, to be honest. I think he went through... was it Sinclair and Vui?
Yeah.
And Vui, which, you know, you'd think that's two of our kind of stalwarts of our team.
Two internationals.
Checking. Absolutely, yeah. And, I mean, the thing is, I would say that he did show on Friday night, he did show that Six Nations form that he's been, you know, performing for France. It was soft in the fact that we should have been aware of absolutely everything he should, you know, all of his weapons. But once a top player gets in that position, it's like Randall. How many gaps has Randall seen this season and gone for it?
Yeah, but Randall's about 3'4". Goes through their legs.
Yeah, but I mean, he was, you know, it was soft. But ultimately, I think it was fantastic play from Penaud, knowing that the gap was there and exploiting it. And the thing is, we still got to remember, where Clermont in the league, they're still a great side, you know. I mean, they won the French title, didn't they, a couple of years ago or whatever. And
to be honest, I think you're right, but 4 times out of 5 or 9 times out of 10, that he wouldn't have got through that gap. So it was a bit of luck, in the sense that, and I do, having looked at it again, it was kind of, Sinks and Vui kind of got each other's way as well, I think, a little bit. It was that split second, and it happens, but I don't think that would always happen like that. It was a bit unlucky. But to be honest, I mean, they're not going to be happy with that, really.
No.
And also, Piatow is not going to be happy, because he got stepped, and then he did a little kind of dive afterwards, didn't he, to like make it look like he tried to get him. And I thought, mate, just go like that. You didn't. He was a little bit. I would have done the same, to be fair, because he got well and truly stabbed.
But I thought it was clever the way he came to the back of the was it a rock and mall?
And then
just kind of span out a bit.
That kind of spinny
move. I
mean,
he's a class performer, isn't he?
But would you say that spinny out of a tackle move has become more prevalent this season? Because Semi's done it a few times. It's become a new thing in the Premiership. And it's actually not a bad idea, is it? You know, if you're rotating as well as driving, it's hard to get your hands on.
Let's call it the swivel.
The swivel,
But ultimately, right, before every game, you identify the star players of the opposition, don't you? And obviously, he would have been probably top of the list. So, you know, ultimately, it was weak in the fact that we should have been aware of.
But it was good wing play because he came looking for business, and he wasn't where he'd expect. You'd expect that big Moldovan lump to pick it up and go driving. Actually, so in that sense, it was very, very clever from Penno to kind of take the opportunity. So
yeah,
are we on balance saying it was his skill rather than our failure?
60-40.
Yeah, I think 60-40.
Yeah, and then potentially could have been even more of a turning point than it was, Lee. 31 minutes, our Jimmy gets clobbered by one of their players.
Yeah,
Fritz Lee,
that's the one.
And lots of debate, certainly in the stands. We were waiting for the referee to make a decision. I think most of us there thought it was going to be a red, and then it ended up a yellow. Now, your thoughts on that, right decision or not?
Yeah, no, I don't think it was. I don't think it was a red card. I kind of feel that, I don't know, there's so much kind of complacency, like, from refereeing this season. But, I don't know, it is a tough one, because you could be on the yellow card side, you could be on the red card side, you know, it falls right down the middle for me. But it was what it was, wasn't it? It was, you know, it ended up being the yellow card. And, you know, ultimately, you know, we should be in the ascendancy then when that's happened. Mm-hmm. And,
well, to be fair, we did play that 10 minutes well.
Yeah,
because...
Can I just say one thing about that card? I blame Freddie Stewart for that. Because, you know, it was Jacko Piper who red-carded Freddie Stewart in that England-Ireland game, and which nobody thought was a red card, which then got rescinded. So Piper clearly was erring on the side of caution. Now, what was the... I would say, how was that different to Zach Mercer? I don't know if you saw it the next day. Montpellier against Exeter, when he was basically... He was up. He wasn't even coming forward. Mm. I mean, I'm glad, I don't like red cards because that would have maybe spoiled the game. Although we've been on the back of that a few times ourselves. But I do think it's his shoulder went into his head. I don't really, at force, I don't really understand what the mitigation was on that. Did they say it was like some sort of slight stoop into the tackle? But the guy is coming in high with his shoulder, which is what they're supposed to be cutting out, and just giving him a yellow.
But that's
didn't
what
send
saying
a message.
About the complacency of it. It's just so... I mean, you do make a valid point, actually, with the Freddie Stewart incident, because...
But that's Piper. Piper didn't want to get it wrong again, did he?
Yeah.
And it's easier to go yellow and everyone say, oh, it might have been a red, than go red and get it rescinded. But to me, what is this whole point? The whole point is they're trying to stop upright tackles, shoulders into heads. And that's what he did.
And they do need to work on that next season. I mean, I think it needs to be absolutely clear.
But the thing is, what I don't understand is I think refs are giving enough of those reds out. It's the players are not changing their... Mm. It's difficult, but, you know, anyway, let's move on.
Anyway, let's move on. But just for once, Bristol did capitalise.
Yes.
And Randall the Rocket, he's like a little ferret, isn't he?
He's a ferret. He's a whippet.
He sees a little hole and he'll dive through it.
Yeah, but we've got to credit James Williams, haven't we?
Yeah.
Because... I mean, we've said the last few weeks how good he's been for us in the centre, and he's been exactly what we've needed. It's taken him such a long time to get into our, you know, first team, but the move in the run from Williams started everything. So
wasn't it another swivel?
It was a swivel, and also, I mean, the fact that when he's swiveling, there's players around him. Generally, it does tend to be Randall. He's on the shoulder. But he still had a lot to do, didn't he?
No. Well, he did a great little... He did a swivel and a step. And then acceleration.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, for a... I got told off by my other half for calling him chunky. She said, that's a bit rude. I said, but... I'm not saying that as disrespect. No,
it's,
I'm saying
it's
that
a compliment.
And the power from those thighs. Yeah.
You're saying
make the eyes water.
You're saying that's a compliment.
Yeah.
Well, if there's a lady outside, go and say, you're lovely and chunky.
You're not talking generally in the whole population. I'm talking in the context of Jimmy Williams.
I agree with Pete on this. I think he's it's like a little pet name, isn't it?
It's chunky Jimmy.
It's a term of endearment, I would say.
And it's power. Chunk to me equals power.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'd agree. And we're back in the game at that point, then, aren't we? What's that, 13-17 at that point?
And then Jimmy Williams again. Beautiful break.
Oh, God, yeah.
I thought that's what we were talking about.
No, this is the second one.
Pops the ball to Semi.
Yeah.
Semi, I thought he was just toying with the defender when he kind of slowed down. I didn't realise in the moment. But when you saw the replay... His Amy just went, didn't he?
Straight away, wasn't it? With one leg. Yeah.
Hopped over.
Boys, I did my hammy playing softball last season. And I tell you what, I didn't go more than about 2 centimetres after it went. I hit the deck like a sniper had hit me. So I have a lot of... I understand how brave that was, a Semi.
Well, to be fair, it's all credit to Semi that he did finish that because he still had a way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And as Tony has just said... He pulled it basically as soon as he caught the ball.
You could see his hand went down, didn't it?
And he grimaced.
Honestly, it's so painful, and hamstrings.
And you just think, well, I mean, he actually, to be able to get over the try line, and this was on 38 minutes now, and we've taken the lead, haven't we?
Absolutely.
To flip it the other way around, when Claremont do their video review, whoever it was, like, covering the winger.
Yeah.
It's like you're not even fast enough to catch a bloke who's done his hamstring. That's going to be a bit chastening for him.
He just tried to pull his shirt right, didn't he? Yeah.
What he should have done, I mean, if he got any, I mean, because he was, I would have thought of him to slap that thigh really hard. That would have got him down.
I got a feeling, though, he thought.
That's something you like to do, Pete.
What, Jimmy Williams?
Only with Miles. But I got a feeling he thought it. That Semi was toying with him as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he kind of thought if he went for it,
he was just going to go again. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mate, before we move on, I've got a can we put the light on? Because I can't actually see my notes anymore. Look at that. Oh, blimey, that's...
Oh, not Ian Botham.
Right.
That's
the one. So... What was that? 37, 38 minutes. We're 20-17.
What do we do now, Tim?
All we need to do is control the ball to half time and then go in with a lead. And all of a sudden, the momentum swung, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think they still had a minute on their yellow card.
Yeah.
And oh my Gideon. It has been the absolute Achilles heel of our season.
Yeah.
Restarts. And actually our restarts to the opposition. So Magnus Bradbury knocks on, they drive to the line, brilliantly, I must say. I mean, they really were absolutely ruthless. And then instead of us going in with the momentum at halftime, they go in with the momentum. And it was... 22-20 to them.
But I feel that they've probably done some homework on that, Claremont, because, I mean, our restarts have been awful all season, haven't they? And, you know, we whoever's catching the ball never seems to catch the ball. And, you know, I do feel that they kind of, their instincts were to, like, let's try for this. Let's have a little go. But you've got to admit, right, and I'm not sticking up for Bradbury because he did have plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
And he did take his eye off the ball. I think he's a number eight. He was thinking about going forward before he's actually caught the ball. And I think we have to... I'm going to give him a little bit of leeway in terms of, you know, he's playing second row for what is second game. And it was a cock-up. But I just feel like... I don't know. I don't even know why I'm sticking up for him, but it kind of just feels like...
I think your mitigation is right, is that in his mind, he wants to go forward. The other thing is, because it was actually not, it was quite a deep restart, it was that thing where he had too much time to think about it. Sometimes when you don't have as much time, but his technique was poor. He didn't, he was, yeah, I mean, he was, I remember being told as a kid, you go slightly sideways on, so if you do drop it, at least goes backwards. And it just came, it like went through, it came off his belly, didn't it? It went full, straight into the hands. I mean, it was a good pickup from the French lad, who then popped it straight away. But there was, he, again, I mean, he's a professional.
Yeah, I know.
And he knows it. And he's a great, we love him.
Yeah, he knows it. Absolutely.
And I think Pat made some comment, didn't he, that they'd scored the two tries, they were starting to walk down, and they heard a cheer again, and they thought we'd scored a third try, thinking brilliant, and then turned around and found out it was them.
So disappointing to concede on half time like that. Just at half time, I want to give a shout out to the Clermont fans that were at the front of the Dolman stand. There were a few of them. They all bedecked in yellow. One of them had Viking hats. They had a couple of drums down there. And it was quite funny because they were drumming out a beat and trying to say Clermont, and the Bristol fans were drowning them out. And then he was waving to everyone saying, I'll do one for you. And he's just doing little beats, and he got the crowd going. So
that's brilliant. I mean, we've tried a few things, haven't we? We've tried the Icelandic thunderclap to get the crowd going. Tony stood up and tried to do a Kerm, we play you every week. But what about drums for next season, Tony? Maybe we should move our season ticket down to that front bit.
What, and get soaking wet like they were?
Yeah. Actually, on that note, because I was watching it on the live stream in Italy, they actually focused in on a Clermont fan who had a beret with a bear on it. It looked like it was a bespoke, like he made an effort to come just the game with a. It was a bear branded beret.
I've got a feeling that was a Bristol fan having a bit of.
Well, even French so, where was, you know, that's what I call merchandising.
Where's that in the shop? Okay, so we come out for the second half. I think we concede a penalty quite early to make it 25-20. We get a penalty back, 23-25. They get a penalty, 23-28. And then we get to, 11, 10, 12 minutes before the end, Lee. Long kick downfield. Nualago got a week and a half to deal with it.
God.
The ball goes into our try area. He's got his back to the pitch.
Yeah, I...
The whole of the ground were going, oh, this looks like it's going to be tight. And then, of course, Penno, who, you know, must have had a pint of rocket fuel at half-time, just beat him split second. I mean, another few millimetres and that ball would have been dead.
Yeah, but it's these fine margins. And at the end of the day, Siva Nualago, as much as we love him, right, and we do on the pod, he's a brilliant winger, isn't he? He's, you know, he's adapted from rugby league to Union, but he has made some frigging owlers in terms of eye tackles and been sent off twice. And, you know, he's... I can't defend it, Tone. It was a fucking shocker, mate.
Yeah.
It was a shocker. And
for our younger listeners,
It was a flipping shocker.
It was a flipping shocker.
Hopefully TC will edit that one later.
Gigi Miles is the one that swears.
But I mean, on these moments, games swing and
swivel.
We're 70 minutes in and we're still, you know, we're in the game.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it was just so, I can see what he was doing. But at the end of the day, at least shield your body and make sure that ball's, if it's not going out, you're shielding it and no one else is touching it down. Yeah. And Penno was it's like, oh my God, the worst person to be arsing around like that.
Well, you either shield it or you get round the other side so you've got everybody in vision.
But yeah.
He's obviously never watched football, has he? You know, when the defenders shield, you know, when they shield the ball out and it's virtually like obstruction and they get away with it. Like he's clearly never watched a Premiership football game.
I don't think he's watched a lot of rugby union either.
But I feel like I'm in it being the voice of mitigation. You rightly said that I could see what he was doing because basically he knew fair play to him, because the kick was from about halfway line, goes out, we've got a scrum back there, momentum back our way.
Yeah.
Touch it down, all we've got is a goal line dropout, momentum back to them. So you could see what he's doing, and that's the context. He wasn't like showboating. He did it badly.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, I'd like to say is, come on. I mean, everyone said, oh, Penno was brilliant, and he was brilliant, but he had two bits of absolute, a little bit of luck. I mean, come on. 100 times he makes that kick. Would it have just stopped just before the dead ball line? It was a brilliant kick, but it was kind of, it was speculative, and he would have, you know, other games it would have short, or he would have gone
it right.
But what?
But I agree.
Say,
no, I agree. But it, like the swivel through Sinks and Vui, he had luck was on his side.
I feel that when you're in that mindset though, and you're playing that well, these type of things, these scenarios do go
he made
your
his
way.
Own luck.
It's like when we won the Challenge Cup.
Yeah.
You know, throughout that season, we had little bits and pieces of luck that went our way to win the trophy, you know?
I'm saying that so to sort of try and mitigate Seva getting slammed too much for it.
Yeah.
It was he did make a mistake, but other factors that may not have happened another time in an alternative universe also happened as well.
Yeah.
And if Seva's listening, it's fine. You can buy me a pint next time I see you.
And then, of course... And actually, fair play to the boys. They really gave it a go then.
Yeah.
We thought we'd scored a try. Went upstairs, didn't it? And wasn't allowed, so we took a quick...
Isn't it one of those ones that if the ref had given it, the TMO wouldn't have found any conclusive evidence not to give it? And if the ref had... It was that one where it was like umpire's decision, wasn't it? And it went...
He had to give it first.
Yeah.
But we took the quick 3 points, the penalty... got the ball back and we attacked and attacked and attacked. It was unfortunate, wasn't it? Just that last pass out when, you know, looked like we were getting towards the line.
It was
a poor pass. Yeah. Lloyd couldn't collect it.
I'm surprised with facts because I would have thought that the form he's in, he would have done an outrageous dummy and a swivel and he would have got over the line.
Yeah.
But he went for the safe option to Yeoin, who poor old Yeoin was like trying to dive and catch it at the same time and go straight into the defender.
But again, that's what happens when you're pushing it so late in the game and you have to take risks.
In many ways, that was the story of the game. We were in it for so long.
Oh, absolutely.
But when we were trying to force things, when we were trying to make things happen, that's when the mistakes came. And you kind of think, if we had just been a little bit calmer and, you know, like Pat always says, you know, just trust the process. It was a classic game where trust the process may have seen us through, but we didn't trust the process. We tried to force it in certain areas. And, you know, like with the bad stuff that we do is when we force things, it goes wrong.
But it's also a classic game for us where individual errors have cost us the game.
But I do think it was individuals because they were trying too hard individually.
But haven't we been saying drop the process and play with a bit of flair, and that's what we did against Quinns and Saints and pay the dividends.
Yeah. Genuinely, I'd rather screw the process.
Yeah.
This is just me being honest. Screw the process and let's just play what's in front of us on the field, right? I know we have to train every week, right? That's fine. And also, I'm going to go as far as to say, it's going to sound like a bit of a rant now, but I don't want the cameras at the training ground. I don't want to see that anymore. You know, we'll have cameras at the training ground when we've won something. I don't want to see all that nonsense every... Yeah, do you know what I mean? It just detracts from what everyone's trying to achieve.
You know what? It's a good
every
point.
Every freaking week.
Because you always say soft focus, don't you, of them running off. I want to see them like going up like Burrington Coombe in Mendip in a driving rain and like crawling up in pain. That's what I want to see.
When you think some of the teams that we play against in our league, right? What, you know, I'm pretty sure London Irish don't have that training concept, that complex. I'm pretty sure probably most of the sides, certainly Harlequins don't, you know, and the big sides, you know, we've got a purpose-built facility up there, and I almost feel like it's too comfortable. I don't want to see freaking cameras up there anymore until we've won something. Keep those cameras right in the background until we actually perform on the pitch, win a trophy, right, and then bring it out, and then let's watch it on Netflix or wherever, you know. I don't want to see that anymore, that crap. Let's just focus on the pitch.
Ooh. I bet you're going to turn that hot water off, aren't you, and leave the windows open over the weekend as well.
Don't sleep, yeah. Leave all the blood on there.
But am I wrong? Am I wrong?
Well, I think this, if it, it touches on a wider problem that we've said that what Leicester proved, to be honest, is that we're just lacking a little bit of grunt, a bit of filth, a bit of oomph. That a little bit, you know, it's great, that great out the back offloading game when it works is a brilliant, and they should never stop it because that's a what's great for rugby. But just when the chips are down, that's what our problem has been. We haven't had that someone like a Lavanini, you know, someone who can just do something dirty.
I'm pretty sure if Eddie James was looking at that, he'd be saying, look at this, why don't they train at Withywood School? It's Oasis Academy now or whatever. But why don't they train on those pitches? You know what I mean? Why you know, they've got the biggest facilities there, but they're not getting stuck in because it's too easy for them. Mm. And I feel that a lot of the problems we've had this season are down to the fact that it's delivered on a plate for them. These guys don't have to do anything.
Except.
I think maybe you should go up there and take a training session then.
I'll do it. I'll take Miles with me.
Hi, lad. See the pitch? 100 times around the pitch. Go. Whoop. And then just...
But you know the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's have a look at the player performances then. Pete, if you take the forwards and Lee, you take the backs. Who stood out? Who didn't?
Well, it's, you know, they did all right, the forwards. You know, we in many ways fronted up because this was a big French side, and you know they only just beat us, and they beat us given the fact we gave away two soft tries. So yeah, you've got to say that the forwards played well, but they weren't clinical. You know, our line out was a bit dodgy. The scrum was all right, I thought.
Well, we did get completely steamrolled.
We won a couple, and then I thought. So it's hard to. I think that we did. You know, we put that kind of thing all, you know, big French side and beat us up to bed. Except what they had that our forwards didn't do is that they just seemed to have that little thrust over the gain line a little bit more. Were able to push that. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Sinks. I don't know. Was he any better than Max Lahiff has played in the last few games?
No, I don't think he was. Not at all.
I mean, Genji, I think Genji, we'd always have him first on the team sheet. And I think, like you alluded to, he had a bit of passion. He was, you know, some people had slagged him off, hadn't they, when he came on against Leicester, saying he hadn't looked like he was interested. I think it was Andy Good, actually. Mm. And I thought that was a bit harsh because, you know, he was coming on as a sub when we were losing. But I thought he tried his best, and he's always around. And there was a little bit of chit chat in the front row. I quite liked that. I don't know if it was in French or not, but I don't know if he did French at school, Genji. And yeah, Bradby, but it was just little things again, wasn't it? Bradby was heart and soul, but he dropped the ball about three times. Vui does what Vui does, which is great. Maybe Luatua, if you were being hypercritical, didn't impose himself and just get the edge like he sometimes does. So, you know, but we almost won it. I think it's hard to criticise the forwards too much.
I've got to say, I don't think Genji's quite looked his ferocious self since he's come back from England. Mm. Well, that's not a criticism. I just don't see him quite in that rampaging form that before he went away.
Yeah, when you think about that Leicester game, that 26-all game, when he flattened Harry Potter, didn't he? He took that kind of ball and did a big loop round and smashed into him. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he probably hasn't. I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't think it's an attitude problem, is it? No. It's probably just a physical problem. I mean, the guy's been playing a lot. So, yeah. So, and Thacker, you know, we expect so much, don't we, of our players. And,
well, usually the first try as well.
Yeah. And Thacks, I mean, a lot of people lost a lot of money. I guess the bookies won that, didn't they? But he wasn't quite, his line out wasn't brilliant. It was a bit sloppy, wasn't it? So, I don't know. I think it's easy to say, oh, we got bullied a bit by the French guys, but I'm not sure we did. I thought we defended as well as we could, apart from the little swivel for Penno. And we could have won that game.
Mm. Okay.
I'd agree with that. I think actually, like everything, Fax was pretty on point for me. So, yeah, backs.
The backs.
The standout for me was Harry Randall. I thought he had that zip. Mm. And he almost kind of, I don't know, sometimes he feels like it feels to me like he's playing on just a 0.5 above anyone else. But I do agree with Pete's assessment, of the forwards. It's the same for me in the backs. I just feel like it was a game that it was there to win. We should have won. And just because of, silly errors again, it's cost us. No one stood out for me, if I'm honest. Obviously Semi, it's really sad, but Hammy's probably done his last game for Bristol now, isn't he?
I would think that's probably it now.
I thought Semi was good during the game, the 38 minutes. Again, Williams, a couple of brilliant breaks.
Yeah.
He's a keeper for next couple of years at least, isn't he? I thought AJ, a couple of decent kicks as well. So no one played badly, but I just feel like that was a game that we really should have been talking about tonight, as in terms of us going forward and playing Scarlets in the next round.
Mm.
And, having a real kind of an uplift of, we could win this trophy. Because I genuinely did feel we could win this.
I mean, I know the conditions weren't very good, but I think we definitely played within ourselves, and that was the game plan, wasn't it? I mean, it was a lot of early kicking, and Pat even said, the plan was to get in their territory. And then we kind of, when we did try and play a bit, we looked dangerous, and you kind of think, just go for it. We've got Ibatoya. I mean, Siva Nwalanga didn't really have much to do. He came in once off the wing. He didn't, when did we get out?
They weren't getting much ball out wide.
No.
And the thing is, like we've said, Claremont, a terrible away from home.
Mm.
Surely the battle plan must have been, let's terrorise them. Mm. Let's just run at them. Let's just give them everything.
I think when we did, we looked better. So
and French teams generally don't travel well away, do they?
No.
But this is a side that really don't travel well. And I just feel if we would have taken it to them, we could have wrapped this up by 60 minutes. This game could have been done and dusted. Mm. And then we would have been, looking forward to Scarlets in the next round.
Yeah, I just think we were too a little bit conservative because of the weather. And I just think, just think about the Quins game. Think about the Saints game. Just go for it.
And the thing is as well, with that pitch that we've got, it doesn't impact it as much as a pure
modern
grass
balls. They're not like slimy leather things from the 70s, are they? They've got like grip on them. I mean, absolutely. I don't buy that. More difficult to pass and catch in the rain. It's just the same thing. Get it wide.
I think it is a bit more difficult.
No, it isn't, Tone. They're professionals. I mean, they should be practicing this. Do they not do this where they have like Shaw Mars or whatever with a hose pipe like that in the training, like hosing them when they're trying it?
It's funny. Beggar Bush Lane is flooded after about 2 days of rain. So that training pitch must be completely
Playing. You must practice playing in the wet.
That should have been on normal conditions.
Okay.
So we're disappointed we've lost the free.
Yeah, we're not blaming anybody. I just think the game plan was conservative, and we got, it needed us to be absolutely on point for things that you need a bit of luck, like kick chases and stuff, rather than just play into our strengths.
Yeah.
Pass, run, score.
Yeah. And I think in the second half when Ranrandra went off and, Ewan Lloyd is supposed to be a centre. and they put him out on the wing, brought Ibatoye in.
Yeah.
And, and I'm not blaming the guy because he doesn't play centre, but positionally looked a bit all over the place. And I just wondered, and there's been speculation, I don't know if you've seen it today, I think Wales Online talking about maybe the Scarlets are in for Ewan Lloyd.
And you can see why he would
go. Why wouldn't he go? Settle position, play more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Scarlets need a player just like him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on then. What we had last week was Thursday. And there's been a few little hints that something was going to happen that day. And then I think from 5 p.m. we had a flurry of announcements. 9 re-signings and 2 new signings. If we talk about those 2 new signings first, let me come to... Well, because I'll give the scrum half to the scrum half, Lee. So, Gabriel Ogre, a versatile, quick number two. What do you make of that signing?
Yeah, I when you said about Thursday, I was thinking about it because you might see me Daniel down in chicken, you know. But no, for me, when we signed this guy, I was really, really pleased because I know he had a blinder, didn't he? The listeners will know my memory's not great on, you know, games past, but he did come on for Wasps, didn't he, against us in one game, and he played an absolute blinder. And I thought he's exactly what we need. But a lot of people then were starting panicking about, oh God, we've signed him, so that means Facker's bound to be gone. You know, he's bound to be on his way to wherever Pastor's new. But I always felt Facker was going to be staying with us.
Yeah, and we'd had a bit of an inside line that...
We did have a little bit of... Yeah, but even then, you're still kind of like...
Yeah.
You're not 100% sure, are you? Because you don't know. But I just thought this guy is the best complement to Facker because we've got two players who are dynamic, you know, and they think on their feet. Mm. So, you know what I mean? And they're brilliant, both brilliant in line-out as well. Yeah. So I think he is going to be an absolute cracking player for us. Good. I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Good, good. And then his... ex-Wasps teammate Pete Sam Wolstenholme.
Yeah, I mean, don't know much about him, to be honest, but I mean, the only thing I would say is that we did sign Porter first from Wasps, so it makes you wonder where he is in the pecking order, but he's a young lad. Mm. He obviously is... He looks nice. I like the cut of his jib on the videos I saw. He looks like a strong kind of, you know, a compliment. He's not a small scrum half like Randall, is he? Mm. He looks like a decent one. I think the only thing I would say to the social media boys is they did put a hint out saying, what do you want next? It was like, do you want another one? Yes or yes with caps, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then everybody obviously put yes with caps. So everyone was expecting... God, I mean, that's what I don't know about you, but I was expecting yes with caps. And we got a guy, he's probably got under 20 caps, but not distracting. So I thought that was a little bit naughty of the... the boys. But yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, now we've got a nice little compliment. We've got Randall, who we may or may not lose for England. We've got Marmion from Connacht, who is an operator. We've got this young lad and we've got Oscar Lennon, who we saw at Bath once and thought liked him last season. So, you know.
And we should say, I mean, I know you boys were, you know, you were away and I know, Tony, you were working late, but I did love the All Thursday because... It was just I literally got back and it was all happening.
Oh yeah.
And the Bears website, they texted me back a couple of times, so it was a little bit banter going on. And I loved it until it got to the point where I had about 18% battery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're still waiting for, you know, like actually Facker and Luatua obviously being confirmed. And I started thinking, oh no. I was like, I'm still like, I'm miles away from home and I need to know.
I was following it in Italy because we'd already finished. We were off the slopes by then. So, mate, I was following it. I thought, to be honest, I didn't reply to any because you had done all that. You were representing Bears Beyond the Gate, weren't you? So you did a great job.
Thanks, mate.
And then those nine re-signings, Luatua, Thacker, Lahif, Jan Thomas, Jake Woolmore, Heenan, Piers O'Connor, a bit of a forgotten man this season, Ed Holmes, and our man Tyak, Giant Haystack Tyak. I'm pretty happy with all nine of those. Obviously, Luatua and Thacker came last. We had the nice little video, didn't we? Greatest of all time kind of thing. And I think so many people, you're right, you mentioned it earlier, so many people were worried specifically about Thacker. And I think the fact that we've got Thacker and Luatua next season as well. It's interesting. It was only Piers O'Connor was the only back out of those nine that that was signed. But for me to know that we have got that experience and quality now in the front row that you think, you know, if you're going to start with Sinclair, Genge and Thacker, and then you've got Jan and Max Lahiff now with Ogre coming in. And then you've got Tyak, you've got the Ben Solomon boys, you've got Fred Davis, yeah. you've still got Will Capon, you've options. Got Posca coming through.
Yeah.
I suppose the one thing is, are we going to be able to afford to keep all of them? But some of them you would think are going to be on relatively lower contracts. But
well, Capon's re-signed, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He signed earlier. So, I mean, this was always going to be the problem that when it came to re-signing players that we had got cheap, like Piers O'Connor, to be honest, they were always going to be
renegotiation more, deal.
And then, you know, in the context of a lower salary cap, it was always going to be a tricky thing. And I mean, some people might have been slightly disappointed that it's kind of nothing different in the forwards apart from Ogre, but there's nothing that we alluded to earlier, unless we do get some more signings.
Yeah.
Nothing slightly different. Mm. And, you know, we haven't performed that well in the last two seasons. And so that's... And I'm just playing devil's advocate because a few people did say they were a little bit underwhelmed by it. But I agree with you. You know, I'd rather keep... I'm glad we're keeping those boys. They're the boys I'd keep.
Well, that front row now, I think we've got strength in depth, you know, into third choice in every position.
And I think we've always said, the front row always needs to be solid to build a platform for the backs to play.
And we're kind of making an assumption, and I think it's a good one, that Tyak is the real deal, because we haven't really seen him, to be fair, have we? He's got injured. It all bodes well. Big unit. Apparently, all he wants to do is scrummage.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that could be like a signing for next season. Let's hope that he is everything that we hope he's going to be.
And also, I mean, you know, every club's dealing with the complete nonsense of the salary cap again, aren't we? And, you know, I know there's a bigger picture that we'll talk about another day, but, you know, it is what it is, isn't it? And I'm quite happy with what the business we've done. I don't think we'll have too much more in, but we might have still possibly one.
Well, I think the interesting, you know, and just to finish off these then, Heenan and Holmes, you know, two loyal servants to the club. I think they always come and do a job. Yeah. Are they necessarily, you know, first 15 starters? No, but we need that kind of quality and experience. And obviously, from a personal point of view, two Cornish boys re-signed out of the nine. So that makes me very happy. Piers O'Connor, you know, I think good to have him back at the club. Well, not back at the club, but he's almost been so off the radar. Mm. I mean, I don't really know what the injury was that's kept him out, but clearly there must be confidence that he's going to be back and fit for next season. But, you know, let's hope he brings that form from 2 or 3 years ago.
There was one disappointing thing for me, though, is, you know, I've been bigging up Morgan Eames all season, haven't I? And he's been training with Bears and that, and we were all thinking he might got a start against Claremont. And then I think that our friend Matt Croup alluded to the fact that maybe he wasn't actually signed up for the European squad. And then we found out in the week that he's been released now. So he's going to go to, I can't remember, the third division side.
Mm.
And you just feel like...
He never got a chance.
And I don't know, to me, he just looked like a Bristol Bears player from the off. So, you know, on a personal level, disappointed that Morgan Eames not going to be with us next season.
And then I think in one of the interviews, Pat seemed to allude that Dan Thomas would be here next season. Now, whether that's a deal that isn't quite done yet, but for me, I think my concern, I think, is the second row. Because we know Joycey is gone. Obviously, you know, Batley's come in, that's great. Did we really replace Dave Atwood?
No.
So, we've got Holmes. Hawkins.
He's not going to be someone who steps up into the first team you expect to perform, is he?
Yeah.
You know, all due respect.
And any of the younger lads coming through the academy? Charlie Rice was
on the bench, wasn't he? Yeah.
And I always think that Rice is more of the future than Hawkins, isn't he, in terms of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I will say is we've got a marquee signing probably to make, because with Pietau and Nualago out? Because was it? I forget who I was talking to. It's got to be someone from outside the Premiership, is it?
Well,
to count.
You see, I had a bit of a Twitter ban because I think there's a rule that you can move someone over to Marquee if they've played for more than two seasons. So my theory could be that Lua Tua has been moved to Marquee to make up space to get a few more signings in.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that Marquee rule, okay, accept the salary cap, but why not give teams that want to give, have got the money
two
Marquees? Because the whole point of the Marquee isn't just about the team, it's about the Premiership.
Absolutely.
And like, this is what's happened. Marquee players are leaving the Premiership.
Yeah.
And we would probably, and we're lucky, Steve Lansdowne, you know, bow down to him. If we were allowed to have two Marquees, I bet we would. And they're not going to make a huge... It's not like Man City, is it? Like buying a million Marquee players.
No.
You know, we're still going to be... You know, we'll still be having to work hard to win games. But it just seemed very, you know, poor.
But is there one big signing left?
Well, it might be if Lua Tua has gone to it.
And I think we do need somebody else for the second round.
Yeah. Mm.
And I know exactly...
Sorry, mate.
Ron and Pete.
Oh, I really...
He always loves the sound of his own voice, doesn't he?
I thought you were going to say someone else.
I mean, he is pure filth, isn't he? I mean...
He could write Pete's columns, couldn't he?
He's intelligent filth as well, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember there was rumours of him coming about 6 years ago when I think we were still at the Mem, actually. Mm. But what a player. Mm. And let's not get fans too excited.
But he's on the way.
But yeah, I do think there is a need to bring in an additional quality second row player, especially with Joyce out. And don't get me wrong, I think Batley's been sensational this year. And I'm so pleased that he's staying with the club and has been rewarded with the contract.
I'll tell you what, though. You won't see Hetzebeth drop the ball like Bradbury did on Friday night. There's no chance of that happening.
All right. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope that's the case. So much to get on with. But before I move on, I think there was one thing that I just want to talk about from the week just gone. And that, of course, somebody had a birthday. And I put what I thought was a really nice little picture, happy birthday, Pete, on our social media account. And of course, then that picture was hijacked. And I'm not sure. it kind of just snowballed. Indeed. Then. Our friend Mr. Cleaver had you dressed in a dry robe, and then we had fireworks and pot noodles and all kinds of... It must have gone through about a dozen iterations.
I think in the end I was commissioning, because I think it was my idea to have the fireworks behind. And it was very... You could tell he's a teacher. He was off, wasn't he? And he had some time on his hands. And it was funny that, actually. He did a good job there. I like the fact he kept... And it was kind of... I think I commented and said, basically, this is my life. Yeah, my family was nowhere in it at all.
I loved the fact that Pete commented saying, basically, I look like my dad. I've only ever met your dad once, but I looked at the picture and it was your dad.
He's 83 as well.
It was your dad.
Well, the thing is, I've actually now removed that from my profile because I looked at it and I thought, actually, that's
too scary.
I've had it on for about a week and now I've gone back to some standard, you know, me on the beach looking ripped, sort of standard one.
Is that because of the Southampton scarf that was on show?
Yeah.
But that was brilliant from Sir Andrew of Cleves, wasn't it?
So I'm just thinking, it's your birthday next, Lee, isn't it?
It is, he'll probably be listening to this somewhere over in America, I would say. Mm-hmm. But if he does, then Andrew, you are more than welcome to beast me as much as you like. And I should hasten to add, he's got a lot more photographs on his camera phone than he has of you, Pete.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was a nice touch. Right, season ticket prices came out, and what we saw was probably an increase in most parts of the ground from, I don't know, around £20 to £30. I think there was one area that stayed the same. Was that I think it was the Dolman Wings. I don't think there was any increase there, but everywhere else was between 20 odd and 30 quid. So where we sat in the where we sit in the Dolmen, it's gone up from 465 to 485. We now know there are going to be two fewer Premiership games than what we paid for last season and never got. And they've put the three Premiership Cup games into the price. So, Pete, let me come to you. Two league games out, three Premiership Cup games in, 20 quid extra. How are you feeling?
I think in a normal economic situation, I think I would have been all right about it. But I think this has unfortunately come at a time for everybody where loads of other things in our lives have gone up a lot more, like heating and stuff. So it feels like quite, to me, it felt like quite a steep offer. Now, but it's a weird one, isn't it? It kind of isn't really much more. 30 quid over a year, you know, that's a few pints. But because of everything else that's going on around, it does feel a bit... I had to think twice a little bit about it, but, you know, I'm going to have to rifle through our bedroom, see if I can find some jewellery to sell.
Well, I spoke to Miles, and this will be the first year that he's not been able to use the loose change in his pocket to pay it off in full.
And we should say, obviously, we're all in the Dolmen stand, you know, Dolmen Centre, aren't we? So what's that, 485 it'll be this year?
Yeah, 485. I mean, that's my monthly heating bill.
No, it's a lot of money. And I suppose, Lee, coming to you, it's... Yeah, I suppose we expected prices to go up. But do you think the value for money has gone up or down with the fact that we've got two fewer league games, got the Premiership Cup games, and that's probably about it, really?
Yeah, no, I have to admit, as soon as it came out, I looked at it and I thought, yeah, those two Premiership games don't equate to three Premiership Cup games where we're going to be trying testing the youth squad pretty much, aren't we?
And with it being a World Cup,
it's
probably going to be played at weekends when there's World Cup games, if it's anything like four years ago.
Yeah, and I didn't think it was as good a value. And... I mean, I'm still thinking this season. I don't know if I'm going to renew. In all fairness, and just from a financial point of view, you know, it's going to be one of those where, you know, if Miles is struggling to, you know, if Miles has got to think about it, I'm certainly going to have to think about it. So, you know, I think there's something that Bears have to kind of take into consideration. I know it's not the cheapest season ticket. It's not the most expensive, but it's all got to be balanced, doesn't it? And if people can't afford to pay for it, then we're going to lose bums on seats.
I just think it'll be an the proof of the pudding will be how many, because we've had two bumper years, haven't we? Over 10,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we'll see. I think we can only really see when the results are in.
Well, the interesting thing is, I mean, the Challenge Cup game on Friday, I mean, tickets in the Dolmen were 20 quid for a season ticket holder. But you look round the ground, what was it, just over 11,000. Yeah. So, you know, I think lots of people face with paying 45 quid for a league game. And I think the other thing is, you know, I've certainly noticed it, probably at least half the home fixtures, there's been some kind of a mates rate or NHS or combination cup or another mates rate or, you know, get a group of 10. There's been a lot of offers, which, you know, we all want the club to be successful and get bums on seats. But as a season ticket holder, putting all that money up front, you do kind of think, well, actually...
Especially in the Dolmen, you don't get to see the fireworks, do you? So
absolutely. And I think... Before I sign up for next year's season ticket, I want to know where the fireworks are going to be let off.
I reckon...
Otherwise, we might have to go over to the Lansdowne.
I reckon they've already been on the blower to Premier to the fixture bloke and said, just make sure it's an away game on November the 5th. We can't go through that again.
One thing for sure, Pete would never stoop as low as to go to the South Stand, would he? I think we already know that.
Yeah, I mean...
I think I'd probably go to the Atio and just sit on my own. Just go,
poor boy.
I'd just go to the steward. Oh, look, there's a firework going off on the Saturday, then run around and get in there.
I'd start bringing the kids again and go up in the Lansdowne upper, wouldn't I?
Yeah. I'd rather, yeah.
And we love all our Southstand listeners, of course, but...
Oh, we love them to bits.
Actually, for me, rugby, I struggle a little bit behind the post. I like that side view, so...
And also, for what we do, you need to have a balanced view of what's going on attacking and defence, don't you? So,
yeah,
as great as the Southstand is, you don't get that perspective on the game, do you?
No, but you don't get the amount of grunting and dribbling either, do you, in the Dolmen?
No, that's true.
but prices are going up, Pete. And it is a difficult time, and we're all, you know, we aren't as well off as we were last year, regardless of how much money you've coming in. But at the end of the day, Pete, now we've got the Bears loyalty program to keep us going.
I see what you're doing there. You've chipped it up, and you're expecting me to not just volley it into the top corner, you're expecting me to do a bicycle kick a la Trevor Sinclair. Do you remember that one he did for QPR? Outside the box. I think there is a little bit of disquiet amongst the loyal fans about the loyalty scheme. Because, and I think we need to name check our mate, a very regular, very loyal listener, Marcus Watts,
yes,
who has been banging this drum for a while. And so we finally got around to talking about it. And he's right. I think he tweeted something today saying, basically, you're being rewarded to get into a raffle, essentially. That's all it is.
Yes.
And I find it slightly disingenuous, to be honest, that they're hyping up. It's a bit like the fireworks spectacular again. They're hyping something up as a loyalty scheme where... It's like, well, if everybody follows your hype, then the odds of winning something is going to get less and less and less because there's more people going to be in it. Mm. Clearly, when you read between the lines, it's an outside agency. They've got some sort of marketing agency running this thing. There was stuff like, oh, you know, if you spend something in Topman or whatever, does that exist anymore? Topman, you get like another point on your thing. Oh, it's like, oh, I can enter another raffle. A loyalty scheme to me is... 10% off merchandise.
Simple. Yeah. And 20%. What, and what that meant...
You build up like you used to.
Yeah, like we did.
You get a 10% credit to spend in the shop.
And let's put it this way, it's not as good as Tesco Club Card, is it? Or even... What's that one?
Or even Asda now. Asda got one.
Nectar. It's... I'll tell you what, the one good thing about it, at least it isn't like that Harlequins and Leicester one, which is that kind of Bitcoin... sort of thing, wasn't it? There was a lot of disquiet because you had to sign up to some dodgy cryptocurrency website or something.
Well, I think as well, I was reading the small print. Three points from me. One, I think even if you spend in the club shop, if you haven't linked a credit or debit card to your loyalty, you don't get it.
So we're giving away data.
The second thing was... Actually, there were some things you could buy, like a bottle opener or a little key ring or a badge. Where actually, you know, in this era where we're trying to be sustainable, you know, these bits of stuff that if people had wanted them, they'd already bought them.
Yeah.
You know, we just... Someone described it as tap. Maybe a little harsh, but we're encouraging things that people kind of would probably have... use their points just to think that they're definitely going to get something rather than being in a raffle.
And they're sold out.
Yeah.
And already.
You can't get them.
For that reason.
And the third thing, I was looking at the small print, your points are wiped out on the 31st
of May. You've got to get on with it.
So, I mean, everyone's going to go at the end of the season into a raffle. You don't know how many people are in it. And, you know.
Can we just say, can I be Miles for a second?
All right.
It's a pile of douche, isn't it? Come on, let's face it. Yeah. And not only is it a pile of douche, Miles would have used a harsher word, but it's taken frigging months to get to this point. So, the brainiacs that fought all this together, it's taken an absolute age. I mean,
Do you know what it is?
It's a shambles.
It's the loyalty scheme equivalent of that digital magazine that they did last year.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll tell you where that's gone. In the bin, because it was utter rubbish.
And that's exactly where it is.
Marketing led. And I'm sorry, it's not fan led, is it? No. I mean, that digital program was rubbish. It had nothing in it.
No.
Because it wasn't
an
organic thing, was it?
It was
basically some agency from London coming, yeah, guys, you've got this really great idea. Like, you know, with like, yeah. And it's the same with this. It's got nothing in it.
Yeah.
It's empty. It's an empty vessel.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no jib on this loyalty scheme, I'll tell you that. No.
And bears beyond the gate are not having the cut of that jib.
No, It just seems an unnecessary own goal. As we said, you know, I think the general feeling is it ain't good. As you say, Lee, it was late. What was it? Only 2 or 3 months ago it was actually launched.
Introduced, yeah.
And in these tougher times, actually to have built up a little bit of a cash balance, you could have spent in the shop.
Yeah.
I think most people would have been pretty grateful for that.
Because I have actually got onto it and logged in, and there's another thing on it where you can do, it's like games tab, and you can earn 1 point or something by answering a yes or no question, like, who do you like best, Fax or Randall? Yes. And it's slightly disrespectful to... Well,
and do you know how else you can earn points?
Yeah, tell me.
Going in 60 minutes before kickoff. If you scan in, I think you get like an extra 5 points.
Well, we're used to that, really? Too. We went in an hour and a half before.
We
didn't get any member. We had no benefits at all for that when we were in the ground an hour and a half before.
But to be fair, that was a Points West evening. But Miles used to go in about 3 hours before kickoff when he didn't need to.
Yeah.
So Miles would have been laughing on these points.
Bristol Bears maybe have a rethink. I see that loyalty scheme seems to be across the Flyers and City as well. So it seems it's there. If you're going to keep it, let's maybe have something a bit more worthwhile, that if people are loyal, that they're going to get something that they actually want rather than a bit of tap or a few goes
like,
in a raffle.
What they should have is like a fast track. Like, you know, at Alton Towers, they have like a fast track bit for queuing.
No, it's too much. What they need is exactly what we had. We go down there, we spend loads of money on pints of beer, right? And then you get a reward scheme from that. It's rugby, Pete, right? That's pretty much it.
We should start our own alternative Bears Beyond the Gate reward scheme, shouldn't we?
Well, maybe they'll surprise us. Maybe for like, I don't know, 400 points, you'll get a bobble hat next season.
Well, maybe.
By May.
After hearing this, for 500 points, you get a guest appearance on Bears Beyond the Gate.
All right, let's move along then.
That's our next go.
Well, we talked about season cards and we've got the 3 Premiership Cup games. I don't know if you saw on social media, the club chairman of Coventry wrote to all their supporters, encouraging them to renew their season cards and telling them that next season... there will be a cup competition, including Premiership and Championship teams. So, you know, this was speculated on a month or so ago. I think that is an absolutely brilliant development because, let's face it, I don't think anybody gets too excited about the Premiership Cup. But to see some of these Championship teams come to Bristol and or the opportunity to go to places like Penzance or Jersey or even... Doncaster, you know, I think it'd be great. And what a draw for, you know, those clubs who need the revenue because they've had the funding cut. You imagine, a team like Cornish Pirates, if Exeter pitch up, or Bristol, or a
Absolutely.
Bath.
Absolutely.
You'd wet yourself if Pirates came to Bristol, Tony.
But I'm a Camborne boy, so I couldn't support Penzance Newlyn. But, you know, I think it would be great for these clubs to be able to, and I hope they fix isn't the right word, but make sure that there are Premiership teams and Championship teams in even amounts in each of the pools if they're going
to
do that.
But do you feel that would need to be a regional thing? So, you know, obviously if Coventry in it, they'll be in with the Midlands teams, maybe like Saints and Leicester or...
I think it would be great if they do that, like a West, London in the South East, Midlands and the North.
Hang on though, boys.
Regional.
The trouble with that is we might get Hartbury away. Well, we promised we'd never ever go to Harbury away again.
They built that stone again.
To be fair, we've got some learnings from that. We certainly wouldn't wait for a taxi, would we?
Oh, we'd... Yeah,
outside.
I'd like to think we'd do it differently.
We wouldn't go for
time.
A pint.
Okay, well, we're nearly here. Easter is just around the corner. It's very much closer, actually, because we've been rambling on for, an hour and 10 minutes so far. So just
to talk about, Tim.
Just before we round things up, we're not going to be doing a podcast next weekend. Not because of our religious beliefs, because of the fact that there isn't a game. Now we've got knocked out of the European Challenge Cup. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. And we'll be talking about the Sale game. So it's too early, really, to speculate about the teams. But Sale at the gate, it's Friday night. Pete, do you fancy our chances?
I do, if we just go out and just go for it. What we got to lose? I mean, we know what we're going to get with Sale. You know, dirty, filthy, South African... led pack, some really good backs, you know, like the James brothers, Carpenter, some good quality, solid English players. We've just got to go round them. We've just got to go with it. Just play our game. Don't try and play Sale at their game, which we've tried to do in the past and failed. Just pull those boys around the park. We're at home. Let's be calm. Let's get the spirit of Quins and the spirit of Saints, because we've got nothing to lose. We get humped by Sale, we get humped. But let's just go for it. And if we win, gives us a bit of momentum to go down to Exeter and then finish the season on a high. It's Gloucester. So I just hope.
And Coronation Day.
Yeah. Is that still going to happen? Anyway, that's another
point. Well, it's birthday. It's on every day.
Plus, so I just think, what we got to lose? Pat tried to go conservative against Claremont when we had a chance for glory. It didn't work. Let's just go for it.
Okay. Lee, your thoughts? And I think it's not been confirmed, but 8 teams are going to go into the Champions Cup from the Premiership. That seems a certainty now. We know from the season cards, not just ours, but from others, there's going to be 2 home games. You know, that 8th place is worth chasing.
Well, I think it's the only thing we've got left to play for, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we give it 100%, don't we, in the last 3 games. It is 3 games, and we've got, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think so, if we win 2 of those 3, then I think we're pretty much guaranteed top 8.
We should be safe, yeah. And I agree with Pete. I think, like Sal, it can be 2 things. We can either run rings around them and have our game plan set, or we're going to get mired down in, just bogged down in the way Sal play, and we will get beaten. And I think that would be the first game out of the way. So it depends on how we approach that Sal game. Exeter Chiefs is going to be tough, but they're not the Exeter Chiefs of old, are they? But there's a lot of their players that are going to be, you know, on to pastures new for next season. So, you know.
Well, it kind of depends what happens to them this weekend, because, you know, if they win their quarter final, does that, and they're in a semi, could go both ways. It could be that they, you know, they might can rest a few players, or it might be that they'll, you know, the big boys who are leaving, you know, want to just flex their muscles against and get some sort of game time ready for this. I don't know.
I mean, ultimately, yeah, we're kind of thinking like 8th place. Mm. It's not the season we thought it would be, was it? But
no,
you know, it's been a little bit of a disaster this season, and I think probably 80% of it is all our own downfall as well, in one way or another. So we have to take that on the chin, and hopefully next season will be better, won't it?
So quickly then, are we going to beat Sale?
Yeah.
Pete saying yes.
No.
No. I think it will be tight, but I think Sale might just do us.
We know what we're going to get. Rush defence, it's easy. Let's just have a plan.
We've kind of struggled against rush defence for the last 2 years.
Now we know. Now we've got enough time to think about it.
It's that easy.
Okay, well, you've been listening to Bears Beyond the Gate, a Bristol Bears podcast made by fans for fans. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Podbean, Buzzsprout, and many more platforms. You can contact us with your comments and ideas by email at bearsbeyondthegate@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at bearsbeyondgate, and on Facebook, you can like and follow our Bears Beyond the Gate page. That's it for this show. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and leave a review or rating for us on your favourite podcast platform. So as I mentioned earlier, we'll be back in 2 weeks with our review of the Sale game. Until then, goodbye, have a lovely Easter, and come on, Briz.